Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
This morning, say amen. 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 Y'all are sounding good this morning. This song, I love it. You ask me why I love Jesus, and ask me why I do the things that I do, and why we do the things. Just ask me. I'll tell you why. It's all about the blood of Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus and what He's done for me in my life and in your life, our lives. So if you have any questions about Jesus, just ask me one. I love this right here. Listen.
Ask me why, and I'll tell you it.
man, I get excited about that. Amen. I don't know what to tell you. Amen. Let me find this morning. Here it is. All right, I'm glad that he's higher than the highest. He's greater than the great. Like Phil Cross, he said one time, he said that he was talking about this song, trying to come up with a song and trying to get words to it, and he was watching a boxing match. And he was over talking about, they were talking about the man that was about to fight, the undefeated, undisputed champion. And he was talking about him and telling him about his weight, his height, his accomplishments, all that he's done. But Phil said that I started thinking about the one true champion.
Amen.
He's higher than the highest.
Amen.
He's greater than the great. Amen. There's nobody like him. And again, if you have any questions about him, just come and ask. We'll tell you about it. Amen. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen,
yeah.
May I have your attention? I want to introduce to you in this corner of the good and the right stands the champion robed in white. His height exceeds the heavens. His weight outweighs the worlds. His reach reaches everywhere. His age is evermore.
He is higher than the highest, greater than the great. No one could ever take his crown away.
He's more mighty than the mightiest. Hometown to enter this arena to raise his hands in victory for me. An angry crowd crucified this king who wore the crown and gladly watched the champion going down. But I will never count him out, for I'm a witness of the day he rose to retain the title champion of love.
He is higher than the highest, greater than the great. No one could ever take his crown away.
He's more mighty than the mightiest.
He reigns from above.
faced a mountain that I've never faced before. That's why I'm calling on you, Lord. I know it's been a while, but Lord, please hear my prayer. I need you like I've never had before. Sometimes it takes a mountain, sometimes a troubled sea, sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain just to trust you and believe. Forgive me, Jesus, I thought I could control whatever life would throw my way. But this, I will admit, it has brought me to my knees. I need you, Lord, and I'm not ashamed to say. Sometimes it takes a mountain, sometimes a troubled sea, sometimes it takes a desert just to get a hold. Sometimes it takes a desert. Oh.
Amen. It's not so easy to thank the Lord for those mountains, the stormy seas, or those deserts, or the desert he seems to drive us through so many times. We don't understand. We don't know, but he does, doesn't he? I'm so glad we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I'm so glad that we serve a Savior, that he walks with us and he talks with us. And I got to tell you, it's not always through life's merry way. Sometimes it is through that desert or the stormy sea or while we climb that mountain. Sometimes he has to get us alone, so we'll listen to him. One thing I found out over the years, excuse me, is that when we pray, so many times we're so busy talking that we're really not listening. And I found that when I listen during prayer, I get a whole lot more accomplished in my Christian walk. But through all that, through the desert, through the sea, up the mountain, the Lord has a desire for you and I. And I want to touch on part of that this morning. I want to revisit the theme of God wants you and I to become a B student. We talked about a few weeks ago, or two or three, I can't recall now. We talked about the B student of ye must be born again. We can't forget that. And then we discussed John 3:3, where the Lord Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So I want you to know that if you don't know Christ as your Savior this morning, that your first step of becoming a B student is accepting him as your Lord and Savior. I often thought, well, why does the Lord want us to become a B student? And what came to my mind is sometimes these brainiacs can be a little cocky. They're proud of those grades. And when it comes to academics, they can tear it up and they can do a good job. But sometimes the smartest people I know have no common sense. They can't walk straight. They can't chew gum and walk at the same time. So having brains isn't everything. And too many times, and I'm not against a high IQ. I don't have a high IQ, but I'm not against those that do. But sometimes there can be that pride that builds up. And I think that's why the Lord wants us to become a B student. And I want to share some of the B student attributes with you. Not all of them today. This may end up being a 3 or 4 part sermon because I only was able to get through 3 of my points last time I preached this message. So I'm going to start off by saying God wants us to become a B student. My first point is really my second point today, but I'm going to skip my first and go to my second because I'm not crazy about the first point. But I do like the second point, so I want to share this with you. It was a blessing to me. We need to be wise as serpents, and we need to be harmless as doves. Matthew 10:16 says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Do you get the picture, Christian? In other words, this world is not going to be friendly toward you and me, not if we live a true Christian walk. I think one of our greatest downfalls today is that we're working too hard to get along with the world. Because we're not being attacked. like we used to be. We become, I won't get into that right now, but anyhow, we need to be as wise as serpents. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Then it goes on to say in Matthew 10:16, be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Be wise as serpents. I was thinking about that because our first question is, at least it has been for me, is where do we find this wisdom? Well, I must tell you, I think it's very obvious where we find this wisdom. We find this wisdom in the Word of God. And in the Word of God, it tells us to find this wisdom that we have to ask for it. Did you hear that, Christian? I'll be honest with you, Christian. Not many ask for that wisdom because there are responsibilities that come with that wisdom. There are expectations that God has concerning you when we receive a heavenly wisdom. And too many of us Christians, we don't want to do what it takes, number one, to get that wisdom, and we don't want to do what it takes to exercise that wisdom. Because it's not easy when you're climbing mountains. It's not easy when you're in the desert. It's not easy when you're in the stormy sea, as the song said a while ago. And so there's a price to be paid when we receive this wisdom. Wisdom, I don't believe, is a widespread epidemic. H.L. Mencken said this, "The older I grow, the more I distrust the familiar doctrine that age brings wisdom." Well, he's right. I mean, we like to think that time and trials, life's difficulties, would build character and wisdom in us. We would like to think that. But the truth is, to have the wisdom that God has for you and for me, we must love and indoctrinate ourselves in His Word, and we must seek for godly wisdom in prayer. Well, so praise the Lord. Be ye therefore wise as serpents. I like the next one, because the next step is, and harmless as doves. So be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Now I'm going to stop right there 1 minute, and I want you to turn your Bibles to James chapter 1 and verse 22. James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Ladies and gentlemen, the text for today is that we are to be a bee student in exercising God's word in our life. So I stop there now and go back to the point I was about to make, and that is that we are to be wise as serpents, but secondly, harmless as doves. I was doing a little research and found online a fellow that raises doves, and these are some of the things that he had to say about doves. He said, doves, well, let me back up and say this. This didn't come from a breeder of doves, but this one theologian. He said that he believes that the Bible says, and to be harmless as doves, is actually referring to the low sound of cooing. You know the cooing sound that the doves make. And he believes that when the Bible says to be as harmless as a dove, that it's saying be as harmless as the cooing of a dove. I got to tell you, I don't believe the cooing of a dove has ever deafened anyone. I don't believe it's ever surprised or shocked someone into having a heart attack. I'm telling you, the cooing of a dove is a gentle thing. It's It's an interesting sound, and it's the cooing of a dove, according to this theologian, that he believes this is referring to be as harmless as the cooing of a dove. Something else that was mentioned about the dove is that their flight is fast and bullet straight. Did you hear that? They said the dove's flight is fast and bullet straight. And here we are, Christians. We're supposed to be like the what? The dove. We need to be fast, and we need to be bullet straight. We need to be quick, fast, eager to be doers of the word, and we need to do it bullet straight. The Bible tells us not to look to the left or to the right, but lay our hand to the plow and go forward. We need to plow in a straight line. Too often, too many Christians, we're guilty of laying our hand to the plow and looking to the left and looking to the right. And the whole time we're looking around, our plow is all over the place, and no decent farmer could sow any seed in our mess. And so many times in our Christian walk, God cannot sow the seed he wants to because of the mess that we're making out of the rows that we're supposed to be hoeing for him. Man, that's good preaching right there. Somebody get up and swing from the chandelier. Amen. And not only do they shoot straight, but they do it quickly. They don't mess around about it. We need to stop messing around, Brother Anthony. We need to shoot straight and shoot fast. I was watching a program on these fast draw competitions. And that's amazing. That's amazing to see a 10-year-old little girl, little boy, walk up to a target with a gun. That is interesting. I like that. They shoot three times, and however many hits those targets, three out of three times of trying, and they also have to introduce the speed into the equation, and it's just interesting. But I tell you, they were fast. These little kids were lightning fast on the draw. I'd put any of them against Clint Eastwood. I think John Wayne would have been in trouble with some of these kids. But I tell you what, they were fast, but they shot straight. And Christians, we need to be quick. We need to be fast. And we need to run our race in a straight line. Isn't this good? You know, that's something I found about the dove. That I found out that they're social birds. They're social birds. They interact one with another. The Bible is very clear that we're to love one another, exhort one another, encourage one another, sometimes in love rebuke one another. The doves are social birds, and likewise we are to be social birds with one another. I tell you, that's hard. That's difficult if you're an introvert. And you want to come in, slide under a pew, and hang out till church is over. I understand that. I'm that person. So don't ask me why the Lord puts me on the platform. But nevertheless, I'm that person. And it's not easy to walk up and shake hands sometimes. It's not easy to hug the necks of Christians sometimes. Sometimes you just want to go somewhere and maybe even hide in a closet. But nevertheless, the doves are social birds, and ladies and gentlemen, we are to be like them, encouraging one another, loving one another, helping one another, restoring one another. The social life of a dove is a wonderful picture of what you and I need to be as Christians. I'm just talking about becoming a B student here. Becoming a B student. Something else I noticed about the dove is its metabolism. They said that if a dove does not eat, its metabolism is so strong that if it does not eat in a period of 24 hours, it will die. Is that not a beautiful picture? If we don't eat, if we don't feed on the Word of God daily, we die. Why are we so puny? And I'm not talking physically. I'm saying, why are we so puny, so weak, so lethargic spiritually? Because we're not eating every day. We're starving to death, oh Christians. We've turned our back on the lifestyle of the dove, if I may say. And because of it, we are lethargic. And we're washed out. Last night, I watched a documentary on a Karen Carpenter, I think her name was. I know it was, last name was Carpenter. And I watched that documentary with absolutely amazement. This girl had, I think, one of the most beautiful voices that's ever been. And to hear her sing her melodies was just impressive. But something happened to her, and around 1980, she had an eating disorder and became anorexic and so forth, and they didn't know a lot about it in those days. And she went in to see her mom, and her mom called her brother and said, she just passed out. We need to get her to the hospital. And her brother was saying, I thought, okay, this is the wake-up call she needs. We'll get to the hospital, you know, she'll be fine, and then this will be the book. And she died that day, February 4th in 1983, because she didn't eat correctly. Christians, I love you. I love you. But many of you, even in this room today, are on the brink of spiritual life support because you don't even look at the Word of God during the week, unless it's to move your Bible out of the back window of your automobile so the sun won't curl up the cover. The dove has to eat or die within 24 hours. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to consume the Word of God every day. Say, preacher, I work 8, 9, 10, 12 hours a day. God understands that. He understands it so well that he knows that if you'll take just a little time in his word, it will encourage you, it will rejuvenate you, it will help you psychologically and emotionally and physically. Say, I don't have time. You better find time because you're dying. Preacher, that's good. Not by me, not by my mouth, but by the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's tempting in a situation like this when you got 500 points to just run right through them. I don't want to run through anything. I want us to focus on particulars concerning this dove today. I wanted to stop and help us realize that the dove is a picture of what we should be. I want to refer back to the cooing just for a moment. I told you about a theologian that talked about the cooing being harmless. That's what he believes that's referring to. Something else I found out by reading after people that raised doves, they said that the dove, when it is being attacked, when the pressure is on, that the cooing changes its pitch a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, when we are under the attack, when we're being bombarded by the things of this world, whether it be circumstances or individuals that may be seeking to hurt us, it's okay to change the tone of your coo. just look to heaven and say, God. You say, is that biblical? Yeah. The Bible tells us to go boldly to the throne. And so when we change our coo, if I may say, or the cooing, that is it. That is when the dove, God's precious little birds, are saying, Lord, I need you. Man, he hears that tone change. He's listening. He hears you cooing. But when the cooing tone changes, he goes, whoa. He scoops over on the edge of that throne, bends, inclines his ear to hear you. He says, coo along, my sweet dove. Coo along. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I like it this morning when the tone of the doves changed. The choir was singing. And the Spirit of God was meeting with us just a few minutes ago. And some of you were clapping. Some of you were saying amen and hallelujah and praise the Lord. Your cooing changed a little bit. And God noticed. We need to become like doves. I'm stopping right there. Can you say with all clearness and certainty, I'm as harmless as a dove this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to talk to you just for a moment with your head bowed and your eyes closed. I want to talk to you for a moment about being a B student, that you must be born again. There may be someone in this room that you can say, I'm not a B student. I haven't been born again. I'm lost. And I've made a mess of things trying to do it my way, but I need Jesus. I need to become like that dove. I want my life to change. I want my cooing to be identified by God, not the world. And this morning, I'd like to be saved. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you here, and please just be honest, know today that if you were to drop dead this very second, that you'd fall into the arms of Jesus? Can you be honest and say, I know the Lord? Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. Now I'm going to ask you again, please keep your head bowed and eyes closed. And I want you to be honest with me again. Can you say, would you be willing to say, preacher, I don't know the Lord as my Savior. And if I were to die today, I don't believe I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would you be honest and just raise your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to do anything to point you out. I just want to pray for you. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you so much. As we sing, Christian, the challenge is I want to be more like that dove. To you, O lost sinner, hell's hot, heaven's sweet. Satan hates you and Jesus loves you. He'll save you today if you'll let him. You come forward, we'll take the word of God and show you how you can be a born-again Christian today if you'll do that. Let's all stand. Let the Holy Spirit have his way in your life this morning, Christian. Let him have his way in your life, old lost person, this morning, please.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Countest thou all things for Jesus but lost?
Is thy heart
right with God? Is thy heart right? Jesus rule in the temple within.